igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within.
One of the things I always say all the time is dream and dream big. And in my household, Don Williams was playing. You had Jim Ed Brown playing. You had Charlie Pride playing. You had Ernest Tubb, Loretta Lynn, the greats of country music. One of my all-time favorites was Conway Twitty. And I'd be up against the speaker listening to the music. And I dreamed within that music. That's what I wanted to do. You know, I'd like to write a dance song, you know, something to get people on the floor.
Come on, everybody.
Joke around to throwing a ruby, but I don't think they would laugh.
I would have.
Kind of funny. Yes, music is such a passion for me. I would like to go to Nashville and record an album.
How can I say goodbye?
I'm just really proud of those musicians and Tone Swinger and Sky. Summer Sky Music and LaDonna and Barry, they just really treated me like family. Some good memories. They weren't bad. Because I lived in the trailer, that's not a bad thing. That's actually a pretty good thing. And
yeah, we like it. We like it hot. And we don't care.
We don't care.
Like it or not.
The journey's the beauty of the whole thing. A lot of hard work and getting up early and trying to, you know, live right, do people the way I want to be done, you know, and I think that that's the number one thing is, you know, you're never too good for anything, and everybody's got an important job. You know, we're all part of the same body. We just had different parts, and I just try to be Arnold.
You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer.
Hello, and welcome to episode 20 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Again, I'm Fox, and today I have a very special guest on, a former player of mine named Jerry Trapp. And Jerry today simply said, Fox, I want you to introduce me simply by saying this. Jerry wants to share some of his life story with us. So I'm going to introduce you that way. Jerry, how are you today?
Coach, thank you. I'm doing great. And A lot better, and you know, I feel the positive vibes just talking, you know.
Positive. This will be all about positive vibes, no doubt. I mean, you just from talking to you before, you are relentlessly positive, and as well am I. So that's a lot of energy. I don't know if the podcast can hold us.
Yeah. Well, we will see. We'll see. I think so, though.
We shall see. So I'm leaving our audience in suspense by just simply saying you want to share parts of your life story with us. I'll start this way. You served two deployments on the Dwight D. Eisenhower, and you've been around the world a little bit. How have you benefited from travel?
This is something before I joined the Navy, which was just, you know, a great experience. You had your hard times and times you're like, what the hell did I sign up for? Like in anything. And then you have, you know, times that this was like the best decision. And now looking back on it, it was definitely the best decision. And I'd do it all over again. But because I was lucky enough to be in the Navy, and I got to, for one, this goes along with traveling. Just joining in the military, being from New Jersey. I stayed in New Jersey most, like pretty much my whole, I went on vacation. I went, you know, a couple different states. I went to Cancun maybe. I think that was like my most travel experience. And I always say, I think now I've been to more countries than states. I don't know how true that is, but it's close, you know?
Right.
But being in the military, you see people from all over the country that you just don't see. So right there, you see different people, different ways how they talk, different ways how they live, like different. But then you learn to like make all your different, you know, differences like and bring them together to make something better than, you know, just individually. Does that make sense?
Totally does. I mean, you're just trying to you're trying to blend in, but you're speaking of what we spoke of before, which is compassionate. What is it like to quote unquote live in somebody else's shoes and look back out at the world and through perspectives of, you know, through your travels of tons of people, you're able to understand more about how the world works because you've met and been around so many different kinds of people.
Yeah, and that's not even traveling yet. That's just like being just like joining and just being around different people, you know, and then you really see how small of a world it is. I met my one buddy, I'll never forget it because he's from Georgia. And when I was young, before I moved, I grew up in Bloomfield. My buddy from Georgia, his aunt lived in Bloomfield, New Jersey, right?
Small world.
Right? So I always used to ask him how aunt's doing, you know, how our aunt's going. It's totally, and you just talk and you just see like different experiences, what they've been through, where they're from, you know, whether it be sports, you know, whether it be, you know, a storm, whatever. So then you go and travel, then you see like different countries, and we're used to our culture as America, right? So then you go to different countries. I've been to like Greece, Spain, Portugal, France, Bahrain, Dubai, then in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. You see different culture, and you say, wow, like this is not how we live. We might like some things, we might dislike some things, but over in a different country, they have their way of living, which is their way. It's not wrong or right, and it just opens your eyes to see, wow, like let's try this. Let's try something new, something different. Let's see how it works. It might not work. It might work.
Right. And maybe like their way of life you discover might suit you better. You know, you've lived 20, 25 years and you finally figure out through traveling to here and how they live suits you better than how you lived previously. What of all the countries you've been to, Jerry, what has been your favorite to visit?
Oof. That's hard to say. I would say I liked Dubai. I liked because, you know, it's a tourist attraction. It's very, where we were, it was very Americanized, you know, meaning like they had a lot of like American stores there. Like, so you had to, me and my buddy would always like to venture off into the city, like find the hole in the wall and like, you know, meet the people in the town, you know. But Dubai, because they have a lot of, if you look into it, like they have a lot of tourist attractions, like man-made islands that they made, like continents as man-made islands that they made.
Right.
So you see, and that, to me, that's interesting and cool, like to go experience. They have the tallest building in the world, you know. So to me, it's like being a construction, it's like that would be like one of a dream job to eventually, like at the peak of your career, end up getting to. So you get to see it. Kind of like put like inspiration. I would say Portugal and Spain, like for a tourist to go see and just the culture, I really enjoyed.
Gotcha. Do you have any idea how many countries you've been in?
Well, I mean, just like stepped foot on or just...
Let's say stepped foot on.
Well, so yeah, Mexico, Cuba, Bahrain, Dubai, Greece, Spain, like eight.
Like eight.
Eight.
Eight. Eight.
Nothing compared to a lot of people, too.
True. True. But you've got me by about eight. But not to belabor the point a little bit, but let's talk about best food.
Say it again?
Country with the best food. Best eats.
I would say Greece. Greece to me. You have those gyros, right?
You call them gyros. Okay. Okay. Very tasty.
Yeah, I had maybe too many of them.
I like it. And how about within your travels, we're talking about people, best people. People you'd love to sit down and have a beer with, let's say.
I mean, I would say I'm very tall. I probably annoy people when I go out because I'll try and go talk to anybody. But they're all there. They're all awesome people to talk to. I would say the one memory, I think it was in Bahrain. I was actually... had a beer with the guy from Qatar.
Okay.
They drove, and I believe I could have the countries mixed up. So, but Qatar, I believe, is a dry, like, they don't have any beer.
Right.
So these guys would drive, like, 2 hours out just to go to, like a little bar, just relax and have a drink, and then they'd drive back. So I remember that was, like, a specific memory I have of So I have to say Bahrain. And we just talked about their culture. Like, what do you know, like on a Friday night, what are you doing? Do you do it? Like, do you have, how's it different from America?
Right.
You know?
So it's like a kind interrogation.
Yeah. And they're curious about us too.
Right.
And we even tell them.
Well, you are a very, very social being, for sure. For sure. I mean, even going back to your days in high school, you weren't short on words. So I think your years in the Navy served you well. How many years did you serve in the Navy again?
Only four years.
Well, four solid years for sure. So now to continue your story, you eventually were stationed at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and you enrolled in a mentorship. What has that mentorship developed into today?
So this mentorship, to go back, to rewind, like to just lead into that, it's, so I was in Guantanamo and I was, you know, getting ready to get out of the military. So I was trying to prep, and they do some prep courses, you know, get your resume. What are you trying to, just prepare you for the civilian side, because it's very different from military and civilian. So I was preparing my resume, and then I just want to try and find something to just give me that little push, like to give me, like, when I get out, because I was secluded kind of in a way in Guantanamo, because the resources and the quality are, when I was there, aren't as available as they are here today.
Like we were saying, in our previous conversation, the internet is like the old AOL dial-up, correct?
Yes, I don't know if it's still like that, because I know they were trying to bring the cable, the wire under the water. But when I was there, yes, it was sometimes very slow or just non-existent. So I had some time. I was looking for something to go along with my resume. So I was just surfing like mentorship programs. I actually did not know anything about it. Nobody told me about it. It's a veteran mentorship program, actually. But your mentor does not have to be a veteran. So, but I found it, and I didn't think anything of it, but I was like, hey, let's just put information and sign up and give it a shot. Next thing you know, they come and they send me a questionnaire, fill out, what are you looking for? Like, what kind of mentor? How old do you want your mentor to be? So I was like, oh, this sounds like pretty more on the serious side. So, you know, I like took my time and filled it out and made sure I put exactly what I wanted. And you know what? A couple of days later, they said they had found a possible match, and they hooked me up with this great guy who works over at Memorial Sloan and Kettering. He's a director who they put me in contact with. This whole process ended up being like the best thing I ever did, and like something I'm grateful for, because it's to put me in contact with someone who has experience and knowledge and who's willing to help the way he did is just amazing, just awesome. But we talked, emailed. I would try and make a phone call, but you know, wasn't always possible. So we spoke mostly for a year, going back emailing, you know, what do I want to do? How do I want to, what do I already have accomplished? What do I want to accomplish? How am I going to accomplish those goals or aspirations? And what are my steps, from small steps to sending out an application or a resume or filling out a school application, to, you know, actually get into that job and succeeding at that job? So we spoke all the way until then. I came back to Cuba from Cuba, and we met, and we just went over that. Then he kind of pushed me in the right direction, you know, through his years of experience, and I just followed him. I said, listen, I'm all ears, and you tell me where to go, and I'm gonna go and try it. I was, you know, motivated. To this day, I try and keep in contact. You know, sometimes to be honest, I should be reaching out a little bit more. But we do stay in contact, and I tell them, just give them, like, updates and where I'm at and what I want to do and try to meet him. I always tell him how thankful, because how much he helped me out. I don't know if he actually realizes it, but...
Just from you talking, though, he really showed... We spoke of this before. He showed a lot of compassion. I mean, he really broke it down for you. And I didn't realize this process of mentorship was a year plus. And he really dissected your possible future for you. I know that, like, any adjustment to a different lifestyle is difficult, but I would think the adjustment from being in the Navy to civilian life is a very difficult one. And it seems like this man really, I mean, he did go above and beyond for you.
Civilian and military, they both have, difficult. We all have difficult. They're just different difficulties, right?
Got you. How long did it take you to adjust?
Like adjust as in how?
Just get used to the new way of life that you hadn't known for 4 years.
The first couple months, I would say it was, I was getting up, you know, super, super early, not know what to do. So I'd be going, bring my niece and them donuts at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, just to, I mean, that's faded away. But I feel like during my work style, it still has the military mindset in a way.
Right.
I don't think that I've lost that. That's a hard question. I'm trying to think as we go.
That's okay. I mean, the military lifestyle gave you structure, which you've carried on to this day. I mean, that's the only, you operate via a schedule, and that's just the way that you are, and that's the way you're going to be.
Yes, it absolutely gave you that structure that I needed. Before I went in, so that's something I'm grateful for, you know.
Right. We talked about it, you had an aha moment, and you know we'll get to that a little bit later. What kind of sort of made you change and sort of get on the straight and narrow? So just as a review, Jerry here, former player of mine, episode 20 of the podcast. He has spent four years in the Navy. Gone really all over the world to me, met a lot of different people, done a lot of different things, loves to travel, and you now work for Hunter Roberts Construction Company as a project manager. Describe a typical day for you.
I mean, today I just got up, I drove in to Brooklyn, paid that $15 toll.
15 bones. Oh boy.
Right?
Unreal.
Yes, and... Yeah, I think of that every time I go through it. And went to the project site, you know, just over in Brooklyn by Brooklyn Army Terminal, which we talked about that history.
We did.
World War One.
Will you explain a little bit about that now?
All right. So I believe, and this, I could be off in a couple, so don't quote me exact, but I believe in World War One, maybe two, Brooklyn Army Terminal was where they made the weapons for the war. So, and if you look on the old picture of it, they have an atrium where they have balconies on both sides. In the middle is with the train tracks and cranes, and the cranes would pick up the weapons that they would push out to the balcony after they were ready to be shipped out, and the cranes would take them, load them onto the train, and then the train would take them right out to ship them out to the war, wherever they were going. It's no longer a military run up operation there. It's owned by the city, but just the whole history around that is interesting and pretty neat to see.
And by virtue of your military career, you are definitely a historian, yes?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, it definitely maybe be more, I don't know if it was...
Maybe more aware?
Getting older or making more aware, or my brother-in-law is a history teacher. I got you.
You're forced to drop some knowledge on a Saturday morning because that's what he wants to do. I get that. Want to sort of...
We definitely have our talks about history, though.
Don't you? Are they debates, Jerry, or are they just talks?
I like to think I could debate with anybody, but I think it was just talks.
Got you. I won't share a debate story, but which I'm not much of a debater, but I was at a function this summer where they had a fake standoff between somebody who played Alexander Hamilton and the other who played Aaron Burr, and I'm sitting there with my sister and a friend of mine, and the phrase was said, "I'll wait here with bated breath," that's when I basically spilled my drink and started laughing. I love that phrase. I don't know why, but I do.
I can picture you laughing and spilling your drink too.
You could. Why is that, Jerry? Why is that? Because you see.
I can just see the laugh, and I can just picture it in my head as you say it.
Have you seen that before?
10 years ago?
Yeah. Okay, share, go ahead, share the story. 10 years
I've
ago.
I've seen it many of times, 10 years ago.
Many times. So I,
like,
I
would... we'll tell them about, you know what, and I can't even, I don't even know who it was running in back to baseball.
Okay. So this is, let's just take everybody else back. This is 2005, 2006, and I'm an assistant coach at Whippany Park High School, and at practice with Jerry.
Tell the hamburger story?
You can do the hamburger story. Go ahead with the hamburger story, yes.
I don't know if it would be better told by you or
well, I think that we'll say it this way. Our head coach, Barry Russomano, had a phrase for someone referring to someone who was being goofy or being a knucklehead, to use a, I guess, a New Jersey term, instead of using that term or profanity to talk about the person, he would simply call them a hamburger. Right?
Yeah, and, you know, ever since then, everybody would be called a hamburger by Coach Bond.
Right. I would just call everybody a hamburger. I mean, if you know, if you swung at a ball that was in the other batter's box, I would just call you a hamburger. You know,
I feel like it might be something also that you had to witness too.
Yeah, you'd have to witness
it. Get the full story, like feel the full effect of that story.
Feel the full effect. Yes. Yeah. It has to do a lot to do with timing. A lot to do with timing, and it's not. Yeah, it can't be scripted. So hamburger, that word, replaced a lot of profanity that would have been inappropriate. So we're going to thank our coach, Barry Russomano, for that. That's what we'll do there. Hey, why don't we jump into a game called What, Which, and Where? So I'm going to give you a line from a movie, a book, just or maybe just a thoughtful quote, and I want you to tell me from where it came. Are you ready?
Oh, man, I'm
going to
be horrible at this, but yeah, go ahead.
We need a little bit more confidence. You said at the beginning of the podcast, Jerry, positivity.
That's why I said, go ahead.
That's why you said, go ahead. Oh, I love it.
I'm not a movie person, but I'm going to try.
Well, I should have rephrased that. It'll just be a quote from somebody that's relevant to your life, relevant to mine, and maybe you can... Maybe you'll possibly guess who it came from.
Okay.
So this first quote, I'll give you two places from where it came. I want you to think back to high school language arts class with did you have Mr. Lamb, Rich Lamb for English?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, so I did.
I want you to think back to that. It's the winter of 2005, and you've had some coffee and you're awake in his class. And he talks about this. He says this quote, bizarre travel plans are dancing lessons from God.
Wait, so he said this?
I'm not saying he said it. I'm saying you possibly heard this in Mr. Lamb's class. I'll say it again. Who said this? It was not Mr. Lamb, but it was somebody very famous. Bizarre travel plans are dancing lessons from God.
Was it Coach Foxmeyer?
Well, I guess that's kind of right because I'm saying it right now. So let's go one for one.
Who was it?
One for one. It's actually, I don't know if you know this man, but God rest his soul, Kurt Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut, he's a writer and poet. So I'm just saying, mentioning that quote because we're talking a lot about travel in this podcast. So and how important you think, and of course I think too, travel is. And basically for the reason of showing more compassion toward other people. So I'll give it to you. One for one. One for one.
I'll take it.
Okay. And I'll say in this next one, you know this person very well. The quote goes like this. Who did it come from? Hello, I can see you from the sky. You bet I can see you in my mind's eye. Don't think too hard.
I'm definitely overthinking it. I think...
This person is very close to you right now. He's very close to you.
Is this one Coach Foxmeyer?
This is me. It's a quote from a poem that I wrote in my book called Where I Have Never Been. So yeah,
two for two.
So explain
the quote.
So I will explain. It's a great question. I will explain the quote. It was about a conversation I had with one of my brothers, and he said, Fox, when I die, if I die before you, I want you to take my ashes and spread them in a place where I have never been.
Oh.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Comments on that one?
That's interesting. You don't want to think about.
You don't want to think about death, but.
But you think about where have you never been? That's what I'm thinking. Like, what would be? Where would you do it?
Where would you go if you passed away before you could get there? It's a good question. So yes, very nicely done. 2 for 2, and the third quote, Mr. Trapp, is I don't want you to tell me who it came from. I want you to tell me what is this quote referencing? What thing is this quote referencing? Okay. Are you ready?
All right.
All right. Do a couple jumping jacks, a couple push-ups. It's not a big deal. The quote goes like this. I think you can live without it, but it wouldn't be any kind of life. I'll say it again. I think you can live without it, but living without it would be no kind of life.
Baseball.
I like that. I like that. I could not imagine my life without baseball and what it's done for me. That little white ball, doggone it, man. Doggone it. That's, you know, I can't say that you're wrong. I'm going to go 3 for 3 with a stipulation. We did speak of the landline phone, right? And how how that, right? That is really the forebearer of conversation for a lot of people. It taught us how to connect with people. But it is now obsolete. And I, you know, once baseball becomes...
Wait,
go ahead.
That was the answer.
So, yes, it's talking about the actual landline phone. And in our case, it's baseball. But landline phone, first and foremost.
Hey, well, I got one question for you before we move on.
Go ahead.
The quote, name it. Who said this quote?
One for me. Good. I like this.
It ain't over till it's over.
That is Lawrence Peter Yogi Berra, God rest his soul.
And you are 100% correct. And you know, this is a fun fact.
Another fun fact. Go ahead.
You ever see, like, going back to, like, the rapper Tupac, how he has that quote on his stomach?
Yes. I'm familiar with Tupac Shakur and his recordings, of course.
All right. He has a quote on his stomach.
Okay.
If you go look at a picture when you have time, but... Me, I have a quote on my stomach that's like a half circle.
Okay.
It said, it ain't over till it's over.
I like that.
Yogi
Berra. Well, he's right. I mean, right? Sometimes we you know, that's a quote like we spoke of before on the phone about failure. Sometimes we perceive failing at something once as failure. Just because there are two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning does not, the game is not over. The game is not over, right? I mean, it rings in my head, okay? And I'll tell you a little story where in college, freshman year, I'm a manager for the University of South Carolina baseball team. We are in Fayetteville, Arkansas. It is 33 degrees. We've gotten beaten in the first two games of the series. We're down 2-0. And Jerry, we are up 16-6 in the bottom of the ninth inning with one out, okay? We are down.
Okay.
We're winning 16-6 with one out in the bottom of the ninth inning. Final score, 17-16 Razorbacks, and we did not record another out. So the game was finished with two outs remaining in the bottom of the ninth inning. They scored 10 runs, or I should say, 11 runs, without us recording an out. If that doesn't show you it ain't over till it's over, I don't know what does.
That's right. And kept the rally hats on, huh?
They did. It's like Coach Tanner told us, we will take that game to our grave. So, and that was almost 20 years ago. So he's accurate.
So to go along with that, right? It ain't you could either take that and just be pissed off and just blame, you know, yourself, the team, whatever, or, right, you could let that be motivation or and make you work hard so that doesn't happen again and you don't lose a game like that.
Right.
In the future.
Right. So maybe you shouldn't have a short memory. Maybe you should always remember that. That's true.
I always say, right, so my what is that? It's the, I forget the exact quote, but I always say my past, I've made plenty of mistakes in my past. Too many. Like, big mistakes. Some I really wish I didn't do. But in a way, I would not take what happened in my past back, you know, because it made me who I am today and made me think and be and act the way I do now.
Yeah, I mean, that's just who you are. That's just who you are. It goes back to this, and I'll try to sum it up with one line. I heard LeBron James say it pretty recently. Experience is the best teacher, right?
Yes. I was just telling somebody that. Like, because I was letting my past not let me progress like into my like the future and let me do the things that I would like to try. So now I was able to like let the past be the teacher of what I want to do. And I still have to remind myself that, but I still, like, there's not a day that goes by that I made it out of that. Like, I'm not doing what I was doing. Like, I'm doing better than that. And I don't want to go back to that. So it gives me motivation to keep pushing away mm-hmm. and going and doing something positive, you know, something, you know, worthwhile, like, and something that could, my nieces and nephews could look up to, you know?
You're turning stuff into inspiration, which you've shown that you've done for sure. It's like you said, it's not easy to do, but like you said, if you let your experience, whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, become your best teacher, I don't think you can go wrong, man. And you haven't.
Sometimes days, weeks, you know, that it's just hard. Like, you know, you're just in that slump. Even if you're in that slump, like, I still think I'm like, wow, I'm still better off right now than what I was doing. And I'm still moving. Like, I'm still in a different and a positive spot.
Right.
You know, so I'm so grateful. Like, and it's just like this, when you break it down to something small and like you made it out of that, what you were doing, you just got past your past and what you didn't like. And you just have those small moments. You're just grateful for that time right there. And it's a cool feeling.
It is. It is a cool feeling. And you've told us, I mean, you've been through a lot. And people have heard this. You've been through a lot. And because of your experience is good, better, and different, you're a better man for it. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to lead this into the last couple of questions, referencing on what you just said. At some point in your life, whenever it was, late teens, early 20s, you had an epiphany where you woke up one morning, you told me, and said, "What the heck am I doing with my life?" My question to you now, Jerry, is what advice would you have for your 17-year-old self?
I thought I know it all. You know, take advice, like open up and listen and speak open and honestly. That's what I wish I did more.
Okay.
And I wish I would listen. Just keep my mouth shut and just listen. You know, you said how, and it's true, I'm a more social person. So sometimes, especially back then, it could, I wasn't listening, you know, just keeping and listening to an experience of somebody who's now, you know, my 30-year-old self now, right?
Exactly.
To not go into place, because they're telling you they want to help. Like, that's where they're coming from. And you just brush it off, or I brush it off. And, like, it's not a problem. I'm just, listen, I open one, let it go in one ear and out the other, basically.
That's what you used to be like, right?
Yeah, and then maybe I was like, if I want to change, maybe I need to open up and like hear people out. Maybe it's not other people who are wrong and telling me, and like maybe it's me, you know? Maybe I'm hurting myself, and maybe like I need to change. Is that possible? Right?
Right. 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 Well, I mean, you
and
go ahead.
But just thinking that and knowing that, that doesn't matter. So I'm not going to change tomorrow. I could say I want to change, but am I going to change? It's possible if you put the work in. Like, how are you going to change? That's you have to seek it, is what I'm saying. I guess, like, I could say I want to change it, and luck's not going to make me change. It's me who's going to make me change, and what I do and how I change my ways and go about different things and go about different scenarios and experiences.
And you can see the effect just by talking to you now, Jerry, the effect that your mentor had on you when you were in Guantanamo Bay, because what he did was said, okay, you want to get a job when you get out of here in civilian life. That's good, but let's break it down to the very core. Okay, with whom, where, what are you going to do? And it was this long process, and you could see the effect it has had on you, because you are. Listen, when I knew you 16, 17, 18 years old, I knew you were going to be a good man. You just needed to decide what exactly you were going to do with your life at that point, and what was that going to teach you? And it's taught you a lot. You are always a very social person, like you said, but maybe you didn't listen as much as you do now. And you're a guy that's very, very cultured, and you should be proud of yourself for sure. And you're a great example for not only us, but the stuff that matters to you, which of course is your family and your nieces and your nephews.
That's like I told you, like getting like from where I was to where I'm at, that's something I'm not afraid to talk about it, or I'm more open about it now, because I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, honestly. So if I could help, and I don't know if I could, or if I could say or point somebody in the right in any way, then that helps me. It helps me trying to help somebody else, honestly, and make them go in a positive direction. The positive vibes. You ever hear about the I'm sure you know the law of attraction.
Yes. Yes.
Law of attraction.
Negative to negative, positive to positive. Yeah.
That's what I honestly, and sometimes it's like anything, sometimes it's harder, but that's what I try to, live. I try to stay away from drama and negativity, because what's that going to bring me,
Right.
And so I try and be positive. There's a positive situation, whether you know or you don't know, and you just have to find that positive to bring you out of that negative situation. Like my negative situation, there was the positive was coming out with a new perspective, a new different way of thinking, like a new motivation and a new like sense of urgency, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean you're more driven. You're more driven, and you made a great point before, Jerry, about drama and talking to a friend of mine. We see that the only way that negativity and drama stop, whatever form that is, would be it complaining, bickering, jealousies, any of that stuff. The only way that stops is when people simply stop talking about it or them. It's simple, but oftentimes people cannot find it within themselves to just separate themselves from the situation, which obviously you do.
I try to, and you're right. And you know what? It's funny, because I started one of my best friends from Guantanamo Bay, because he would sit there. We'd be, whether we were out in a group or it was, drama would come around, and it would get to him, and we called him Will. Then I'd be like, Will, what do you think about this little drama at work, or this little drama like around like base? He would get up and walk away. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to get into this, and just pretty much he didn't want to be around any kind of drama to like kind of pull himself in. And then you start to make people like pick sides, and then it goes downhill from there.
Yeah, it just metastasizes. So Will's a smart man. Smart man.
He's definitely a smart man.
By doing something so simple just shows his intelligence, almost common sense. Jerry, great stuff, man. I wanted to end with this. Two things. How can people get in touch with you if you want to share anything? And who would you like to hear on an upcoming podcast?
To contact me through my email, it's Jerry Trapp and the number 6 at Gmail.
So J-E-R-R-Y Trapp, the number 6 at gmail.com, and Trapp is T-R-A-P-P.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And who would you like to hear an upcoming podcast?
I would like to see, I just mentioned my buddy, Will.
Okay.
He, I think I would like to see him, and I would like to see you pull some questions out of him, and I think it would be a great experience and an awesome experience at the same time to hear his point of view and where he comes from. And how he thinks, the way he thinks, and just on like a positivity level, is just on like on your level, and it's just it's awesome to hear and just talk to him. And just and you hear him, makes you think of things that you never even like crossed your mind. PJ Williams.
PJ Williams is his name, and you can get me his contact information.
I will get you his contact information and ASAP, and I will reach out to him.
Excellent, and we'll delve into the life and times of PJ Williams here pretty soon. Jay Trapp, thank you very much.
This and the last quote, ready? The last quote.
Go for it.
All-time quote: "The squeaky wheel gets the grease."
The squeaky wheel gets the grease. That's true. How is that quote relevant in your life?
So, if I want a promotion at work, I'm not going to get that promotion. I just spit on my ass. So if I want that promotion, then squeaky wheel to me, then am I asking the questions? Am I asking what I have to, you know, what needs to get done? Am I taking that initiative? Am I doing, you know, taking those positive steps and making myself an asset? And am I building myself, my career personally and for company wise to make myself available for that promotion? Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease. And are you, for the record, are you a squeaky wheel?
Oh, I'm a squeaky wheel.
You need some WD-40, don't you?
No, because that would silence me.
Oh, that's true. Hypothetically speaking, sure. So you want to stay squeaky. I got you. So you are. Yeah. So WD-40 is your kryptonite, in other words.
Yes.
Got you. What a way to end it. The squeaky wheel. Jerry Trapp gets the grease. Jerry, it's been a blast having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fox. Thanks, Coach.
You got it. That will wrap up episode 20 of the What's Your Inspiration podcast. Jerry and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You have been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
All day, every minute, second, an hour, you're going at it all right, hitting all your marks, morning, evening, and night. Through sweat, pain, torture, and agony, you bring the heat on the road to who you want to be. At your best to the very core, you bring the heat. When you're finished, you want more. Every task, you're on high alert, never bored. Your only obstacle is you, your next set. That's your reward. The new you can't wait to meet. And so from head to feet, you keep bringing the heat.